Let me have you read your, turn your Bible to chapter 1 of Genesis. Chapter 1 of Genesis.
Would that be at the beginning of the Bible?
That's the very, 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 very first book in the Bible. Genesis 1. Verse 26. Up until this point in verse 26, God had been creating the world, the universe, and all that was in it. And then in verse 26, he says this. After he done created everything, he done put everything in place, he says this. And then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree and every fruit with the seed in it, and they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, what I'm going to talk about today is, what did God create us for? And how did he create us? Scripture tells us that God had been doing all the creating. He'd done all the creation of the universe, the world, and everything in it. All the cosmos, all the different solar systems, everything out there God created. And then God said that he created man, and then he told man, I want you to rule over it. I'm giving you the ability to lord over the earth, okay? To lord over it. Then what happens? Adam and Eve mess up, right? Again, amen? They mess up. And what happens? The devil comes to mankind. He said, hey, all that stuff God said, it's not really so. How many know that the devil's still telling us, all that stuff God says is not really so? So he said, hey, won't you eat this fruit? Before you eat it, you need to understand that everything God said to you is not true. Everything I'm saying to you is the truth. And so if you can imagine, see if I got my key in my pocket. I do. You can imagine God had given man rule. When I get in my car, I rule over my car. You understand what I mean by that? I'm not talking about these new cars that drive for you. I'm talking about my car. I rule over my car. I drive it. I tell it what to do. I tell it when to stop. I tell it when to go. Okay? So if you can imagine, I rule over my house too, by the way. Turn the lights off and on when I want to. If you can imagine life and lordship as a set of keys. And what the devil talked Eve into was given him the set of keys that Adam and Eve had been given by God to rule over the earth. Understand? The devil, by talking Eve and Adam into doing what they did, he talked them out of the set of keys that God had given mankind to rule over the earth. Okay? Am I making sense to you? I'm going to show you what God created us for. And then what happens is, because of that, Adam looked at Eve and said, are you happy now? We've been eating out of house and home. That's a joke. Y'all didn't get it, did you? They were walking out of the garden, and he looked at her and said, are you happy now? We've been eating out of house and home. That's a joke. It's not true. Adam made his own decision. But now the scripture tells us that because of that, we're going to have to toil. Man's going to have to toil, struggle all day of his life. And what scripture said? If you don't know that, you need to read your Bible. All right, I'm going to leave that there for a minute, and I'll come back to it, okay? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to try to paint a picture for you of who God created me and you to be and what He created us to be. Not what we are, not what we've been through history, what God created us to be. Who He created us to be. Psalms 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord hath, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above all the heavens. From the lips of the children and the infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemy to silence the foes and the avengers. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. He's sitting there painting this picture. When I consider all that you've done, when I've looked at the majesty of what you've created with your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? When all that you've done, when all that you've flung out through the universe, when all that you've created, who is man that you are mindful of him? I hear jealousy going on. The Son of Man, that you care for him. Now, I know who that is. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to rule over the works of your hands. And you have put everything under his feet. You understand the kind of picture that is being created here of who we were meant to be? You put everything within the power of the universe, everything that's under his feet, everything that your hands have created. You put where he is over all of that. Who is man that you are mindful of him? This is an angel, an angelic being looking upon this saying, who is man? I don't get it. Guess what? We don't either. Because if we got it, we would not be living the lives the way we live them. If we realized who we were supposed to be, who God created us to be, we wouldn't live our lives the way we do. I'm going to show you that scripture I talked about, how that we're supposed to toil all the days of our life. I'm going to show you how that became null and void a little later in life. In Psalms 139, verse 8, it says, if I go to the heavens, we sing a song about this one. If I go to heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths or in hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me from the light because night has around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night shall not shine like the day. The darkness is as a light to you. For you created my inmost parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God has had his hand in creating everybody that's here. Without him, nothing is created. We think all this happenstance and all that stuff. By the way, y'all remember when what was that Aunt lamb's name that was cloned? Dolly. Y'all remember when Dolly was cloned? Everybody look at me. I just want you to understand. The only reason why that happened is because God let it happen. By the way, they didn't create life. They just copied it. See, the devil can't create life. Man can't create life. He may can copy it, he may can alter it, but he can't create it. And we're putting our trust in all these people. They can create what God created. They can't do what God did. They can take what God did and manipulate it. But they can't do what God did. They can't create. And we put our trust in them. Science is not the answer, y'all. And you're not going to evolve into this wonderful human being. You're fallen. So am I. The only way we're going to evolve into anything is because God became Lord of our life. Guess what? And we started evolving into the maturity of His growing in Him as we learned and are renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's how we evolved. There is no evolving in any other sense. We evolve into a greater, higher spiritual understanding because we made Jesus Lord of our life and we seek Him. I didn't come from a monkey and neither did you. You didn't evolve from some single cell amoeba. There was no cosmic soup that we came out of. There was a Big Bang. Because when God spoke it into existence, I assure you there was a bang. Especially when there was nothing out there. Think about that one. Where there's been no sound, now there's sound. Where there's been no light, there's light. So yes, there was a Big Bang. All they're doing is hearing if they say they're hearing it, guess what? They're just hearing the echoes of what God did a long time ago. And by the way, if you believe you came from a monkey, I really do have some land I'd like to sell you. Okay? And it'll be at a good price. But I want you to understand, he said, if I settle on the other side of the sea. Somebody needs to hear this. Everybody look at me. Somebody's struggling in here that life is not going as you had hoped for. God, life is not going quite as you had planned it. You need to stop planning and start trusting. You need to start to realize that God has caused you to be fearfully and wonderfully made, and He's got a purpose and a destiny. He's ordered your steps. If you're just trusting, stop trying to make it happen on your own. Stop trying to figure out this puzzle we call life. There's a reason why we don't get all the picture. There's a reason why it's called a puzzle. Because if you could see the whole picture, you'd be scared to death. So would I. We saw all the picture of our life. Like, whoa, back up. I don't want to go through that. That's not what I want to do. But what we don't understand is we've got to go through what we've got to go through to get where God's calling us. So that's why God doesn't show us all the pieces of the puzzle. You just need to see what you need to see at the moment you need to see it. You don't need to see anything else. You know what that's called? Faith. It's impossible to please God without it. And the just shall live by it. Are you just? Because if you're living by worry, if you're living by the fact that you're trying to get it all together, then you're not living based upon faith, and you're not trusting God, and you're not making God happy. I'll just move right along. Chapter 6, verse 6. Isaiah 6, 8. One more time. Isaiah 6, 8. While you're getting there, I'm going to step back a minute. We look at about the fact that we were woven in God's, and God wove us together. He said before we were conceived in our mother, that we were actually woven together in the depths of the earth. I'm not quite sure what that means, the depths of the earth. That's not in the mama's womb. That's before that, okay? That's before you were conceived in your mama. In other words, God had created a moment in time in eternity that your spirit, to see the life in the body can't live without the spirit. So before that moment of conception happened in your mother's womb, God had already ordained and created a moment that your spirit would be created. So when that moment that happened in the natural, the two came together and life happened. You understand? So before your mama and your daddy ever got together having you, God had already got together with himself and decided you were going to come into being.
That's right.
That's powerful stuff, y'all. And why in the world the church ever allowed the world to steal that away from us? See, because once we allowed the world to steal that away from us, then we became nobody. Because we didn't come from anything and we're not going anywhere. But once we realized, whoa, God created me before my mom and daddy created me, there was a moment, and when he did, he had a destiny and a plan and a purpose for my life. Now that changes everything. And also, by the way, he says in the scripture back in, don't turn back to Psalms, it said, I saw my unformed body, before it ever happened, all the days ordained for me, all the days ordained for you, were written in his book. So all the days of your life, before you were ever conceived by your mom and your daddy, all the days of your life were written down. I don't know about you, but that's powerful stuff. Now I ain't out here flopping on the bank like a fish out of water. How many of you ever caught a fish and you run back on the bank, you know, and you pull that fish out of the water because you didn't want to get off the hook? And that's when you had to fish off the bank. I know all you rich people had boats, but us poor folks, what we did is we threw it out in the water and we'd have to run back to the backwards and get it on the bank. It wasn't no reel. Okay, there was a cane pole and you'd run backwards to get that fish up off out of the water on the bank, and guess what it'd do? It flopped. You know what people look like without destiny in their life? They look like that fish flopping on the bank, trying to find his way back into what God had called him into. It's good preaching. I don't care what y'all say. All right, Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, some of us need to hear. Some of us need to listen. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then he steps up and said, here am I. Lord, send me. You know what he's saying? Send me into the destiny you've called me to. Send me into the fray. Send me to that place that I might be the warrior you've called me to be. Send me, God. I'm not afraid. I'll go where you call me. I'll do what you've called me to do. I'll say to whoever you tell me to say it to. We've become scared, don't we? The church is so scared nowadays, we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. Let me just say this today. If I hadn't offended you, I hope I offend you before this day's over. You know what I mean by that? God offends us. He steps on our stuff. He stirs up our cereal right when we got it. Whoa, get your finger out of my cereal. Right? I mean, he messes with our stuff. Why? Because he doesn't want us to be growing complacent and living life in a way that, you know what? I'm comfortable, Lord. I'm good at getting up, eating my cereal in the morning and going through life and doing nothing. Sucking up air and taking up space. So then he says, well, just move with me to Acts chapter 17. I'm running out of time. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Y'all there?
Yeah.
Acts 17, 27. That's not a scene. That's Acts 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each of us. Then he says this, for in him, in who? In Christ. In him, we live and we move and we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. I got one person, two people that get it. We're his offspring. Next time somebody looks at you and says, you're the devil's child, say, uh-uh. I just act like it sometimes. I belong to my Father God. Jesus is my big brother. Now, let's go back to that moment where Adam and Eve had messed up. God had said, because of what you're doing, man, you're going to have to toil all the days of your life. Give me those keys back. Keys, please. She's busy. Okay, now, those keys didn't go away. Why? Because they're the keys to His creation. You understand? Just because Adam and Eve got out of the garden didn't mean the keys went away.
Right.
Just meant that they'd misplaced them. Just meant they no longer had... They couldn't go in the door. They couldn't start the car. See, so what happens is the devil thinks he thinks he's got it all together. In Matthew, Jesus asked him, said, whom do men say that I am? Well, some say that are John the Baptist or one of the prophets or Elisha reincarnated. And he says, but who do you say that I am? Peter looked at him and said, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father in heaven told you that. And because thou art Peter, thou art Peter, on this rock, the rock of revelation knowledge of who Christ is. You know what I'm going to do, Peter? I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to give them back to you. And we're going to do it under the forms of a settlement called the church. See, in the beginning, it was just Adam and Eve. In the beginning, it was just those two. And God told them to rule over the earth. But see, now in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had gotten the keys back from the devil. He looked at His church and He said, you know what? I'm fixing to go to heaven one more time. Before I go, here, I'm going to give you something back. So that lie that you're going to have to toil all the days of your life, you don't have to do that anymore. Because see, I went to hell. I beat the devil up. And I got the keys back.
Amen.
And you don't have to do what had to happen in the beginning. Now I'm giving you the keys back to the kingdom. But you know what most of us do? We open the door. Lord, I want you to be Lord and my Savior. I'm going to stand here in the doorway the rest of my life. Because I'm scared to get off in the kingdom. I'm scared to walk in the kingdom. Because that means I got to change my stinking thinking. I like living here because I can feel the world behind me. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not necessarily comfortable with living off in the kingdom where there's nothing but your presence over there. See, that's what happens. And guess what? When we live on the threshold of the kingdom, we can still feel the vines, the toil running up the back of our legs. But if we would quit living there and start realizing I am a child of the King.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
I'm born again, sanctified, set apart for the work of the ministry. I don't have to do that junk no more. So guess what? Devil, you better get ready. Because you're going to pay back everything you stole from me.
Amen.
You're going to give back what I got coming. Why? Because God said, you're under my feet. Hear me? God said, and I am going to rule over you. Why? Because my life is hidden in Christ and God. And the devil no longer has authority over my life. Jesus does. So that all sounds good, Pastor. That sounds real good. You don't live the life I live. You have my keys back. Just for a little while. Let me read you something. We'll read it to you again. This is out of the New Testament this time. Last time was out of the Old Testament. Because I have people all the time say, well, Pastor, that's out of the Old Testament. There is no old and new. Because all the old did was tell about the new. Okay? So when we look at the Old Testament, all we're seeing is a picture of what's coming. Okay, so these people say, oh, that don't exist anymore. The law still exists. We've just been, it's just been fulfilled in our lives. Why? Because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. God hadn't changed. So, knowing that, here's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. Hebrews 2, 6, it says this. But there is a place where somebody has testified, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Talking about Jesus. So we're talking about. Yet, at this present, we do not see everything subject to him. The author of Hebrews is saying, I realize that's what it said. I realize that's what was supposed to take place. But at this present time, that's not what we're seeing in the natural. We're not seeing everything subject to him. We're not seeing that it's the way Scripture says. But we see Jesus. In other words, there was still struggle and turmoil in people's lives. There were still things going on. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death so that the grace of God might taste death for everyone. You see, Jesus paid the price, so that means you don't have to. And the reason why we still can read this part where it says that at the present we don't see everything subject to him, because not everybody has realized who they are in him. And the moment we see everything subject to him, we'll realize that everybody's come to the place where they realize who they are in him. Y'all have all heard me quote this before. Smith Wigglesworth, powerful man of God. Y'all have heard me say that one night he woke up. And on the end of his bed was this demonic spiritual figure. And he woke up and he realized it was not just a demon. It was Satan himself. And you know what he said to him? Oh, it's just you. And he went back to sleep. How could he do such a thing? Lucifer, Satan himself, sitting at the end of his bed? Oh, it's just you. Most Christians would be, they'd have knocked a hole through the wall getting out. And he goes, oh, it's just you. I'm going back to sleep. How could a person do such a thing with such a presence of evil in his bedroom at the end of his bed? Because he knows who he is in Christ. He's surrounded by the peace of God. And he knows there's nothing that Satan can do to him. Why? Because I'm not opening that door. You may get in my bedroom, but you ain't getting in my life. But we get all scared. Oh, the devil's up in here. Well, get him out. Right? Now, let's be honest. When old stray dog comes in your yard, what do you do? Get! Get him out of here! Right? That's Southern vernacular there. Get out of here! Some of us need to tell the devil, get him out of here! You know where he's alleging that? In your mind. You know, we make jokes and say that you're a legend in your own mind. He really is a legend in his own mind. He really thinks he's something. He was. I mean, Scripture tells us how awesome and wonderful, and of all of God's creation and all the angelic beings, he was a prized jewel. See, the problem is he's still living in that former glory. That's not who he is anymore.
That's right.
And he wants me and you to think he's still somebody he's not. When it comes to addictions, that's one of his biggest hooks. If I can think, I can cause them to think that they can't get loose. You got to understand something. When you got saved, you've been fishing. Anybody in here ever been fishing? You ever take a pair of tin snaps or little, you know, wire cutters and you just can't get that hook out, so you just cut it? You know what we need to learn to do with the devil? Take those spiritual 10 snips and just cut it.
Amen.
You hook him, my jaw's over.
Right.
You ain't pulling me nowhere.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But we'll be like, oh yeah. I'll go wherever you want me to. Just don't pull it no more. That's what my brother was saying one time when he went fishing with his wife. She went back to cast. Whoa, oh. Hook him right there. Through both lips. You know, that's a picture of the devil. He got some of us, got that treble hook. Right there in the lips. You know what they had to use? They had to use those tin snips to cut that out.
Right.
We just got to use our... What are our spirit? Look at me, everybody. What are our spiritual tin snips? I'm closing, I promise. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault that I'm late. What are those spiritual tin snips? I don't know. The name of Jesus. See, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every name that's mentioned is under the name of Jesus. You don't have the power. But in Him you do. Amen. I'm going to show you a couple of things in closing. I promise. I'm closing. I'm going to skip the rest of that page. You don't have to. James, I'm going to go over these real quick. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Listen. And he was called a friend of God. Let me ask you a question today. Are you God's friend? Verse Exodus 33:11. And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I don't know about you. But all this paints a picture for me that my Father in heaven, not only does He want to be my Father in heaven, He wants to see that my faith in such a place that He's my friend. Oh, that's blasphemous. Well, then Scripture's blasphemous. Scripture said that God was a friend of Abraham. Scripture said that God was a friend of Moses. He said, God, hey, I want to be your friend too, God. Not only do I want to be your son, let me explain the difference. You know, we can be married, but not be friends. Or we can be married and be friends. We can be married and be best friends. Now, let me ask you a question. Do I just want her to be my wife? Or do I want her to be my wife and my friend? You understand? Do I want Him to just be my God? Or do I want Him to be my God and my friend? I'm not taking anything away from His deity. I want Him to be my God. I want Him to be that place of glory and honor. But I also want Him to be a place where I can connect with Him like I connect with a friend. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant. Jacob, who I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. He just lumped all those in the fact that Abraham was his friend, but so are they. Great, then John 15:13 closing. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Not only were we Jesus' brothers, where do you think that scripture was coming from? He knew He was about to lay down His life for His friends. And He would lay down His life for His friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. Let me know that all of us have conditions to our friendship. Don't tell me you don't. Don't act like you don't. Oh, no, I love them unconditionally. We're not talking about love. We're talking about friends. Friendship's different than loving somebody. Friendship is conditional. We all know that. He says, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. All things I have heard from my Father, I made known to you. And you, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Remain. Look at me, everybody. Too many of us feel like that sometimes we're great with God at a moment, and then we lose our fruit. Okay, so you had a bad season. Don't have another one. We want your fruit to remain, that whatever, listen to me, if the fruit is remaining in your life, that whatever you ask in my Father's name, you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Why in the world would you not want your fruit to remain so that you could ask God? If you're wondering why doesn't God answer? Why doesn't God move that mountain? Why doesn't God do those things? Well, maybe, just maybe, your fruit is not hanging where it needs to be. Because Scripture says, if your fruit is remaining, not just fruit for a season, but your fruit's remaining, you could ask whatever you want in the Father's name and He'll give it to you. See, God wants me and you to stop being yo-yo Christians. He wants me and you to be sons and daughters of the Most High. He wants me and you to live off in the kingdom, for we know that whatever we ask in the Father's name, He's going to do it. Why? Because I'm in the middle of His kingdom and He's going to get glory and honor because of it. Get you to stand to your feet today. See, too many of us in here are living broken lives. Too many of us in here are living in such a place that we don't realize that God really wants to do something in and through our lives. So I'm going to pray real quick, and I want you to close your eyes, then I'm going to ask you to do something. Close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're so tired of being defeated. We're tired, Lord, of the enemy having his way, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our loved ones. And God, we realize and recognize, know that we need to be off in your kingdom, Lord, and we can't do it without you. And God, we want our fruit to remain. We want that fruit to be real. We want that fruit that so others may come. God, that we can ask and you'd move powerfully. Today, Lord, I'm asking that we, your people, would be able to reap the abundance of all that Jesus has done for us. So, Lord, we're asking for you to come, Lord. We're fixing to close. We're fixing to. We're going to do something different. We're not going to do prayer just yet. You don't have to leave. Don't leave. I'm going to ask all of you to do something. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're at. We're going to sing anthem here in just a minute. We're going to sing that we are the generation. This is it. This is the time. It's not some other time. The time is now. The time has come that me and you would step up and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. So if you have the faith, I want you to step out of your seats and I want you to come down here. We're going to sing this song together as the body of Christ. Say, I'm not quite ready, Pastor. Okay, then don't come down front. But I'm asking for those that are saying, I'm ready for a new level of God in my life. A new excitement, a new place of saying, Lord, here am I, use me. Y'all move on up, give people room. It's okay. We're the body of Christ. We all live in the same house. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me just one more time. I just want to pray. Close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to focus on anything but Him. What is it He's saying to you today in this? Are you His child? Is He calling you into something bigger? Is He saying to you, I want you to understand and know I've called you to something greater? You know, you can sit and you can choose to mock or make jokes about what God's doing, or you can choose to allow God to move in your life. See, sometimes we mock and make fun because our lives are falling apart and we don't know how to accept and receive what God's doing. I think God is trying to do something today in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, the last thing we want is another good little prayer. Last thing we want, Lord, is just another ending to a service. God, I'm ready for the enemy to be defeated in our lives once and for all. And Lord, I know that today you've called us to greatness. For today you've called us to walk out of that garden and stop toiling and walk into the new garden. God, the new garden you've called us to. God, you called the church to rule and reign over this earth. And we say, Lord, forgive us that we've shucked our responsibility. We've forgotten that we've been called to be movers and shakers in this world. But Lord, today we want to be those movers and shakers. God, we want to stop plucking the weeds. And we want to start plucking the fruit, God, that you said that we're supposed to walk in. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just ask that you just download into everybody here. God, as we sing this song, Anthem, God, that you, O Lord, would let it be our battle cry. God, it would be our cry. God, here are we. Use us in Jesus' name. Amen.